Welcome back into 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. DeAndre Hopkins is a Kansas City Chief. Not officially official, but official enough to be official for you. Fifth round pick is what it's traded for. Could be a fourth. It's what everybody's talking about. I can see Peter Schrager even gelled his hair this morning with his white V-neck on. He's even ready about it. DeAndre Hopkins traded from Tennessee to the Kansas City Chiefs. It does, in fact, make the offense better. It is a position that needed to be addressed. And here they are. The Chiefs have added strength to their offense. The Chiefs have put a trustworthy wide receiver who last year averaged throughout the 16 games that he played, six catches a game for 62 yards. Sign me up. Six catches a game, 62 to 70 yards, and sprinkle in a couple of touchdowns in the red zone. You know, load management about the last couple of weeks of the season, and then hello, playoff football. My tweet that I came up with earlier that I thought was pretty clever, he went from mayonnaise to ketchup.
I do like that. That's pretty good. Yeah, I do like
that's
that.
That's great.
Because who doesn't like that upgrade?
Yeah. I also saw one that said DeAndre Hopkins went to bed 1-5 and wakes up 6-0. I mean, could you imagine that too? Like going from a team like the Tennessee Titans that has the direction of a broken compass right now to coming into Kansas City and being on the premier organization in the NFL. Like, you got to think that's awesome this morning if you're DeAndre Hopkins and you're waking up going, I got traded where now? Let's go, baby. Let's get this. Like, so much fun for DeAndre Hopkins. And really, for me, so much fun for the guys inside that locker room.
I can't get over that Mac picture.
Oh, my God, the Mac pictures, right?
Somebody put a Mac, I'll give it to you so you have it for your screensaver. Somebody says it needs to be a meme. And then somebody said it looks like he saw boobs for the first time.
This was better than that.
Yeah, so we started the show. Dusty and I knew that DeAndre Hopkins was a Chief. We started the show, and like 5 minutes before the show, we're getting all the information. The phone's blowing up, and texts are going crazy. We're getting all the information. And Mac's wandering around, and I walked into the bathroom because we figured he went into the bathroom, and I was going to tell him. And I walked in, and I go, Mac! And then there was silence. I'm like, okay, I guess he's not here. Then all of a sudden, like minutes later, Sterling goes, not here. I'm like, oh, he goes, yeah, but somebody did come in and like bang onto all the doors and almost fell down trying to use the toilet. I'm like, well, that has to be Mac. And so Dusty's like, well, we better tell him. I'm like, no, let's keep it a secret, right? Let's not tell Mac and let's just do it live on the air. So we distracted him for like 3 minutes, which was not easy. And so we got him distracted for 3 minutes. And then we started the show thinking we were going to talk about whatever. And then we go, hey, DeAndre Hopkins is a Chief. And Mac just lost it on the air. It was great. It was so much fun. Like,
that was awesome.
I remember when we were pregnant with our first child and we were deciding whether or not to get the sex of the child ahead of time.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And I worked with somebody at the time who said to me, and this is really good advice. He said, most surprises in life are very negative. You never really get good surprises. Don't find out what your child is going to be ahead of time. Be surprised by that. And we're like, all right, that works us, right? And so I feel like Mac had like one of those good surprise moments where it was like a genuine, like, this is awesome type of moment. And then he read the text line and killed his whole mood.
That's true. That was great. So glad you guys kept that secret. What a move.
Yeah. What a great move by Brett Veach. And so you give up a fifth round pick conditional for DeAndre Hopkins, and he's going to come in here and be, as kind of we've talked about, you know, for the first hour of the show this morning, a reliable red zone target that is a veteran type of player, that is a nice compliment to Travis Kelce, that gives you options right now that you didn't have some, I don't know, 6 hours ago or whatever it was. You know, before this trade happened, you lose Rashee Rice, you lose Juju Smith-Schuster, most likely. Obviously, Hollywood Brown hasn't been part of the equation right now, but there is growing optimism from what I'm told that Hollywood Brown will be back in December. So a lot of folks inside the organization are pretty excited that he may come back to the organization. But DeAndre Hopkins gives you experience. He can play against zone. He's got great hands, as you heard Jay Binkley talk about, three drops in like how many years or whatever it was for him. He's trusted by his quarterbacks, will be trusted by Patrick Mahomes, and he can be a really nice red zone weapon for you, right? Like, those are the things that you want out of a wide receiver. And for DeAndre Hopkins, he walks into that locker room now with street cred. It's not like these guys are looking at him going, no, who are you again? What did you do? Like, you don't think Travis Kelce going to be fired up today? You don't think Patrick Mahomes is going to be fired up today? Andy Reid, all these guys are like, all right, we got a guy that we know that we can rely on. And for the last year and a half, save Rashee Rice, but now he's injured, Patrick Mahomes really hasn't had that wide receiver he could rely on to get the ball to other than Travis Kelce. Now you've got a guy in DeAndre Hopkins who doesn't drop the football at all, can be relied upon, and I can imagine the sense of relief that has escaped from Patrick Mahomes, like that sigh that you have, right? After a hard day and you sit down at night and you grab a beer and you're like, I can imagine that's kind of that sigh of relief. Not that they've crowned themselves champions, but just Patrick knows, I got a guy. I got this guy I can rely on, and that's vital.
And I think that makes him better because he has a confidence factor.
Absolutely, right? It does. Hell yes.
We saw the offense kind of change last year when he got that confidence in Rashee Rice, and then they could kind of do all that. So, but no, I think it's interesting because right now we talk about the offense of the Chiefs. This offense obviously gets better with DeAndre Hopkins. How much better? I'm not here to decide that. I don't know if it makes it like, you know, unbearable to like, you know, you can't stop it no matter what, but it makes it better no matter what. And so far in this offense this year, or at least in the NFL, I want to get to offensive player of the year awards in the NFL. Derrick Henry leads at plus 100, Saquon Barkley at plus 300, Justin Jefferson plus 850, Ja'Marr Chase plus 950. So we ask you, who's been the offensive player of the year so far for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yeah, it's DeAndre Hopkins.
Easy.
No, but for me, it's Kareem Hunt right now. That's been the guy. From like a guy who wasn't here at the beginning of the year has now become, in my opinion, in the clubhouse right now, if there was an award for offensive player of the year for the Chiefs. For me, it's Kareem Hunt right now. Obviously, we're only 7 weeks into this NFL season, and you hope that would change. But, hey, maybe it doesn't. Maybe Kareem still becomes that catalyst that the team uses. You can't have DeAndre Hopkins on every single play, you know, so somebody else is going to have to pick up the freight a little bit. But, man, I think the addition of Kareem Hunt has been fantastic. And if you like that addition, then there's no reason not to like the DeAndre Hopkins addition right now.
I would go with the little bit of a cop-out, not one player, but that interior offensive line, that trio, kind of in tandem with you, Bob, helping out Kareem Hunt. They've been the most consistent piece of this offense, game in, game out. We don't really have to talk about them. You know, Joe Tooney, Creed, Trey Smith, we know every week it's going to be pretty much impossible. They're an immovable force, and it's been massive for this team.
I'm going to go with Rashee Rice.
Oh,
Rashee Rice still leads the team in receiving yards. He's tied second on the team for touchdowns.
How long do you think he'll lead the team in receiving yards until? How many does he have, first of all?
228. I think Travis Kelce is like the next one behind him. I can look it up real fast.
I would imagine. It has to be Travis, right?
You hope. He hasn't played since, he hasn't played since week four.
But also, too, you could have Juju up there because of that one big game that he had, that's true. Right?
How long will it take Hopkins to get 224 receiving yards as a Chief?
Week one.
I'm going to say 4 weeks.
4 weeks? Yeah. I was going
to
say three.
About 50 a game, roughly, just to be on the safe side.
Rashee Rice has 288 receiving yards, leads the team. Travis Kelce has 245, so he'll pass him this weekend.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Unless DeAndre Hopkins steals all his targets into my fantasy team. I don't understand.
I'm glad he's just sitting on my bench. I picked him up 2 weeks ago.
DeAndre Hopkins? When
the name started getting funky, I was like, well, you never know.
Nice.
Might as well. So I picked him and Slayton up thinking something could happen.
Let me text my daughter right now who leads her fantasy league. Pick up DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay. There you go. Mac says to do so because you can hear Mac tonight. You're hosting After Hours from 6 to 9 p.m.
Me and Drew.
Assuming that you and Drew will have something to talk about tonight, and then you'll have your fantasy show on Sunday at 9 a.m. That's Mac. That's Bob. I'm Dusty. We'll get back into what DeAndre Hopkins. Plus, there was another receiver mentioned yesterday that a lot of people thought the same kind of conversation could be happening today about as well. It's 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Brett Veach's dirty little secret was this DeAndre Hopkins move, huh?
Do you think they're done?
I don't know. I mean, there's only so much you can go out there and, you know, give away, you know, for players and whatnot. Done meaning like a name that you're going to get excited about. I think maybe 50-50 depends on, you know, what presents itself. If the Rams continue to get desperate and whatnot, they will potentially make a move. Just proof that kids never listen to you no matter what you tell them. I texted my daughter who's leading her fantasy league. I said, go pick up DeAndre Hopkins. her response. He doesn't get many points. So kids will fight you on any. It doesn't matter. Eat your vegetables. Okay, fine. Pick up DeAndre Hopkins. He doesn't get many points. I said he now has Mahomes throwing to him. And I said, I'll bet you Canes that he has a touchdown on Sunday.
Ooh. I like that. Little friendly wager.
Do you get the coleslaw with your Canes?
The kids do, yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah,
I build a sandwich.
Yeah.
Sub a coleslaw, got, extra piece of bread.
See, the extra toast at Cane's is like the ultimate thing. So again, last night at the tennis banquet, everybody was talking about Coach Reynolds taking them to Chick-fil-A after, like, Chick-fil-A and Cane's. That's how you win over the kids today. It's either Chick-fil-A or Cane's, and they're putty in your hand. So I just bet my daughter that DeAndre Hopkins will score a touchdown this week. Are you taking that prop bet, DeAndre Hopkins getting into the end zone? They want him for red zone purposes, folks. Are you going to take DeAndre Hopkins? I think DeAndre Hopkins gets a touchdown against the Raiders this weekend. That's Chiefs-like, too. You know, that's how they do it. And also, Binkley texted in about the number of catches that DeAndre Hopkins has had in a row and how many straight games. Did you know Travis Kelce's on that list as well? Kelce has a catch in 164 straight games, D-Hop 168, the two longest streaks in the NFL.
That's cool.
Breaking news. DeAndre Hopkins traded from Tennessee to Kansas City. I've been keeping my eye on TV, Twitter. Every outlet is just literally talking about this.
Yeah. What else do you want to talk about?
Good Morning Football says wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins of the Chiefs reminds us of... I don't know what it reminds me of, to give it a comparison of a trade in sports. I don't want to say it's the Kevin Garnett or Kevin Durant to the Golden State Warriors.
DeAndre Hopkins is a winner.
That would have been the case if this happened 2 years ago. Yeah. I would have compared it to that. I'd have comped it to that because he would have probably won two Super Bowls, which Durant won two titles. Mm-hmm. And he was still kind of like... feared as Kevin Durant.
Is this for local purposes adding Ben Zobrist?
That's good. They didn't have an injury really with Ben Zobrist, but it was just an addition to give you more solidification towards like being that team.
Yeah,
that's what we talked about in our poll today.
He kind of galvanized that team, and you know, I'll never let Josh live it down, where he said, we don't really need Ben Zobrist. He's a luxury addition, right? And sure enough, we needed Ben Zobrist, right?
Yeah.
So do you consider DeAndre Hopkins kind of in that category of you needed DeAndre Hopkins, though? You didn't at the time you made the trade, did you need Ben Zobrist? You could probably have gotten by, but did he make a difference? Yeah. This time, I think you need DeAndre Hopkins, and I think he's going to make a difference. Maybe Johnny Cueto into that level, because you needed a starting pitcher at the time, and so you went out and got Johnny Cueto. Maybe he's more in kind of that category and reminds you of that. But, I mean, who's upset today when the team you love is making moves to get better when they're 6-0 and the only undefeated team in the NFL? Like, keep it in perspective, folks, what we got going on here right now. This ain't sitting back and going, hey, I tell you what, we got Bailey Zappi coming up. We got an opportunity to go out and get better. They went and got better, and they got DeAndre Hopkins. They cleared that roster space with Bailey Zappi going to Cleveland.
Every Wednesday, we do our Wednesday poll question on 96.5 The Fan or at The Fan 96.5 on X. Get ready to be disappointed, Bob. We ask the people, does the DeAndre Hopkins acquisition solidify the three-peat, yes or no? 52% of people said yes.
Okay.
48% of people have clicked no. That's 454 votes. That, of course, coming with the DeAndre Hopkins acquisition to the Kansas City Chiefs for a fifth round. That could be a fourth. As no doubt about it, the Kansas City Chiefs, they got better today.
Yeah.
Right? They've lost three wide receivers, two of which I don't know if we see again the rest of the year. I know there's optimism that Hollywood Brown will come back.
Yep.
Has a chance to play maybe
December.
Yeah. Late December, early January. So again, that's what? Pittsburgh, Broncos, let him get his, you know, tires, get the tread kind of worn off the little tires that have been out for all year. And then who knows? You get into the playoffs and you've got DeAndre Hopkins, Travis Kelce, and Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, it's a nice, it's a
Kareem
nice
Hunt, Isaiah Pacheco.
Yeah, I mean, that's a nice pack. Oh, and by the way, we got a good defense. I don't know if anybody's checked lately. Like, this defense doesn't let anybody score on them. But, you know, we bring up that question. My buddy Jim texted me yesterday about, you know, this wide receiver stuff. And he said, and I don't know if you guys necessarily agree with it, they're Super Bowl ready if they find a wide receiver. This makes them more of a threat for a 6-0 team, right? But, like, is this the final piece to that puzzle and keeping it all together? I think it adds a lot. And look, are they done, Dusty? I don't know if they're done, but they got better and they made an addition and people wanted an addition. They went out there, they tickled our fancy, they gave us the wide receiver, and I think it's going to be a very good one. Now, yesterday there was a lot of this Cooper Kupp stuff going on yesterday, right? And I just kind of want to lay out what went on yesterday from sources that I spoke to that under the condition of anonymity because the situation is dire, whatever the hell they say. So I was talking to people yesterday about Cooper Kupp, and first and foremost, I learned yesterday that, like, this situation, this is the Rams trying to trade Cooper Kupp. He's got a $20 million contract due to him next year. They want to get rid of that contract. They're not interested in paying Cooper Kupp that kind of money. And I think he's had like 5 broken ankles, 2 broken tibias, and a busted up, you know, knee or whatever. So he's an injured guy they're trying to get rid of, and they wanted like a second round pick in return. Everybody was laughing at the Rams as they were trying to peddle this trade yesterday. But as of yesterday evening, I was told the Rams and Chiefs haven't even had a conversation about Cooper Kupp. Again, the Rams are putting this out there. It appears that they want to get out of that contract. But here's what was holding back the Chiefs from potentially going out and getting Cooper Kupp. Number one, the money, the $20 million that was out there. They just were not interested in paying that kind of money. And with a high pick that they had to give up, potentially a second round pick, the Chiefs were not willing to part with a second round pick to go get Cooper Kupp. They parted with a 5th round pick and owed no money to DeAndre Hopkins after this season. So on the surface, a 5th round pick and no money due after this season is a major win over a 2nd round pick and owing $20 million to a wide receiver. Again, as we talked about, they're anticipating, and there's very much high optimism right now that Hollywood Brown will be back in December. The other reason you don't go all in on a Cooper Kupp type of trade is because what's coming up this offseason, every move you do affects a potential move down the line. No matter who it is, no matter what player, everything is interconnected like the central nervous system. There's a lot of guys on this team right now that are due dough in the offseason. Trey, Bolton, Justin Reed, all free agents going into this offseason. McDuffie and Karlaftis now are eligible after the season going into their 4th year to negotiate new contracts. The Chiefs want to keep both of those guys. So those are 5 guys right there right now. There's a lot of money that needs to be spent on current guys in your organization. If you were to bring in Cooper Kupp and then owe him that $20 million next year, that's less money than you can pay your guys. And honestly, I'd rather have Trey signed. I'd rather have Bolton signed. I'd rather have Reed signed. I'd rather McDuffie and Karlaftis have extensions than to give money to Cooper Kupp, who's an injured wide receiver right now. Right. And the other thing is, with all of those guys coming due on contracts, that's going to be your free agent class for the Chiefs this offseason. So the draft is going to be used in lieu of, if you will, of free agency this year. So you didn't want to give up a second round pick when you're not going to be that active in the free agent market because you're signing your own guys. You need these draft picks, A, to come in and produce, obviously. You've been really good at the draft. But also, you draft your guys, they're a lot cheaper than going out there and spending that money on the open market. And Brett Veach is a warrior with draft picks. Like, arm this guy with draft picks and let him go and see what happens. And I'm betting on Brett Veach. And so they just didn't want to give up a premium pick and $20 million for Cooper Kupp when they know they have all of these guys coming due on contract. And draft picks are so valuable to this organization and probably more valuable to the Chiefs than anywhere else because they actually get good players with their draft picks.
I think the other thing that's interesting, too, is that out of those 5 guys, 3 of those guys are probably getting signed. And I think Brett Veach is already drafted for the future with some of those positions. I think McDuffie's a lock to get signed. I think Trey Smith is a lock to get signed. And then you can talk probably Karlaftis to me about getting signed. I think those are your 3 locks. I think Justin Reed's replacement is Cook. I think that's where he was drafted and I think that's just the business part of it. I think Reed's a great Chief. I think he's had a big pick this last weekend, but that's the same route they did with Tyrann Mathieu.
Dude, they've done this route numerous times with defensive backs.
And I think Nick Bolton is, I think it's in question. Do I think he's an absolute monster as a captain of this defense? Absolutely. But his position is not one that you pay a lot of money for. And if he wants a lot of money, someone else is going to have to shovel it out. The other thing that I would also add to that when you talk about a receiver and you talk about money is the Rashee Rice contract's going to come up eventually. Now, I don't know how expensive it's going to be due to maybe a suspension, due to missing basically an entire year.
We may not see Rashee Rice until like a year from now, right. With the suspension and everything.
So the strength he would have if he were to have that year that he was projected to have this year is gone due to injury. But if you also think Rashee Rice could go down to be the best receiver that the Chiefs have had outside of Tyreek Hill, you would have to think back in your mind that he's also going to get a contract eventually one day as well.
What is this, year two for Rashee
Rice?
And so he's got
five.
No, he was a second round
pick. Oh, so he's got four.
He's only got four. So he's only got two more years after this. Right. So you start to earmark that money. But that's how organizations work, you know?
And, you know, I think that they do see him being here, and maybe they can do what they did to Tyreek Hill to Rashee Rice, which is, hey, we'll give you a 2-year extension that pays you very handsomely, but we're not going to give you that, you know, 5-year.
Basically, you're giving roster bonuses is what they did for Tyreek Hill. Every year that he was on the roster, here's a $20 million check.
Right.
No guaranteed money beginning tomorrow, but you got your $20 million. And I don't think you need to go down that route with Rashee Rice just yet. I think hopefully he's learned and, you know, he stays, you know, in the good graces off the field. And then you can give him that nice contract that I think he's going to deserve. And there's no guarantees that this guy's going to be suspended, right? I mean, the court date's still not till December, so we still don't know what's going to happen. Farcical, if we can, for a second.
Yeah.
I could see Rashee Rice, you know, going to the court date, you know, getting that all taken care of, and then the NFL suspending Rashee Rice while injured, and then everybody else reacting and losing their minds. You're suspending him when he's injured. The league is geared for the Chiefs. But that's what I would do if I was Roger Goodell. Yeah, you're injured. Count these as suspended games.
Right. In case you missed it, DeAndre Hopkins has been acquired by the Kansas City Chiefs. This was Ian Rappaport's report on it this morning on the NFL Network.
It has been a long rumored deal that now is happening. Sources say DeAndre Hopkins, the star receiver for the Tennessee Titans, is in the process of being traded to the Kansas City Chiefs. The champs continue to load up. Another day, another big time receiver moves. It has certainly been a season full of them. We've seen Davante Adams. We've seen Amari Cooper. Now DeAndre Hopkins is the latest. My understanding is this is in exchange for a fifth rounder that could become a fourth rounder. The two sides are still going back and forth now on salary. My understanding is the Titans are going to pay some of DeAndre Hopkins' base salary for this year just to make it easier for the Chiefs to withstand the salary. But this trade is expected to happen. So KC has lost Hollywood Brown. Juju Smith-Schuster not going to play this week. But DeAndre Hopkins is expected to be there. You're right. This has been a long rumored trade. But listen to how fast it happened. It has been nothing but rumors till about, I would say, midnight last night, Kansas City time. The two sides got together. They kind of threw hypotheticals back and forth. By about 5 or 6 in the morning today, it became clear that a deal would happen. Expected to be finalized soon. D-Hop going to join the Chiefs.
So that's Ian Rappaport giving you the full report on DeAndre Hopkins going to Kansas City. Obviously, we can get into Max Pack right now. I don't know if your bottom feeders are Max Pack or anything like that has Tennessee in it, but I'd assume Tennessee has gotten worse.
I think they just
the loss
did, right?
Of, yeah. That. So, Mac, why don't we do your pack here at 7:32 on 96.5 The Fan.
It's time for Max Pack.
I think we know who number one is.
Oh, yeah, baby. Woo! Another week, another number one spot. And this time we don't have to have the text, but what about the offense? Where have the points been? This team isn't as fun to watch anymore. Oh, shut up. It's all okay now because you've got DeAndre Hopkins. You've got a guy, Dusty mentioned it earlier. Imagine Juju when his knee worked. Imagine Rashee Rice when he was healthy. This is what DeAndre Hopkins brings to the table. They have the best defense. They have the best coach. They have the best quarterback. They have the best interior offensive line. They have the best defensive coordinator. They have the best tight end. And now they're going to have one of the best wide receivers in football. That's right. He's still a top 20 guy. Hopkins, Chiefs number one. Number two, Man, you heard Bob talk about it earlier. We may play the audio later from Mike Greenberg. Man, those Ravens are scary. They can't lose, right, Bob? They can't lose with Derrick Henry. That's what I heard this week,
they
right?
They started 0-2 with Derrick Henry.
Oh, yeah. Like, so maybe they can lose.
The week-to-week nature and the great amnesia that this league creates is just bizarre.
We'll play that Greenberg audio later.
Are we going to get to the booger-eating stuff, too? Because Pat McAfee legitimately asked Aaron Rodgers if he eats his boogers.
We have got that as well.
Hell of a tease.
Baltimore Ravens are still a fantastic team, but that defense is not what it was last season. Mike McDonald's gone. They've lost a few pieces.
Patrick Queen,
being one of those major pieces. You can score on that team. The Ravens put up over 30, and that was without Mike Evans, and the Chiefs now have an offense to destroy that Ravens defense. The Detroit Lions, even without Aiden Hutchinson, we saw what that team can do still on the defense. They're a well-rounded machine. They have the best running back duo in football. They've got an amazing cavalcade of weapons. And Jared Goff, you know, it used to be, oh, there's Goff. He's holding the ball for an extra second. Well, what's the throw going to be? And it's a pick. That's not the case anymore. I mean, it's just multiple games where he starts 18 for 18. He's a beast. He's a top 10 quarterback.
So you're a golfer now. Look at you.
He's been a top 10 quarterback.
You want to tee off this weekend?
The jump's not going to wake. The jump's not going to happen. So Packers at number four, Jordan Love.
So number one, Chiefs. Number two, Ravens. Number three, Lions. Number four, Green Bay.
Green Bay, yep, another well-rounded team, and I think they're kind of coming into their own defensively, and this is another team that can run the ball on you when they're up. These are four teams. These top four teams all have one thing in common. They can run the ball. The fifth team has
amazing
that.
How this league has changed now back to a power running
team. It's crazy.
Team.
It's great. You got to be able to pass, but when you're up, you want to be able to chew that clock. All four of those teams can do it. The one team that I think has the capabilities to do that, but they're going to need their running back healthy. That's the Buffalo Bills at number five. They need James Cook to stay healthy with that turf toe. If he is not there in that backfield, it's just Josh Allen doing it all by himself. It's a fun playoff team. Josh Allen may get his MVP, but they're not going to hoist that Lombardi trophy if they don't have James Cook. That defense getting better. And Amari Cooper getting in the end zone on his first week. That's a little shade of what we'll see with Hopkins in the end zone this week.
That's right. I'm telling you, I'm cashing in on that Canes bet with my daughter right now.
Let's go. Oh, yeah, baby.
DeAndre Hopkins is scoring a touchdown this weekend.
So Minnesota falls out of the top five for Max Pack.
They do.
Okay.
All right.
They do.
Kansas City, Baltimore, Detroit, Green Bay, Buffalo. That's Max Pack. You know how we do it. We go from the top to the bottom. It's Bob's bottom feeders at this point.
Yeah, and in no particular order, I had to put the Tennessee Titans on the list, but everybody else that I have on the list is still now worthy of being on the list. So I guess honorable mention this week, and Bob's bottom feeders are the Tennessee Titans and the quarterback who puts mayonnaise in his coffee. So he comes in very low on that list at number 32A, I guess you could say. Let's look at the other bottom feeders. Cleveland comes in on my Bob's bottom feeders list, and I read a tweet this morning from our sister station in Cleveland. Kevin Stefanski was coach of the year in January. They said it looks like he's aged 25 years. Jameis Winston is now the starting quarterback, which is actually an improvement in Cleveland, but still at 1-6 or whatever they are. They're on the bottom feeders list. The Jets make the bottom feeders. Your quarterback eats boogers. And if you're a grown man in your 40s and you're still munching on boogers on the sidelines, can't imagine that you got much more in the tank. So the Jets are on that list, fired their coach, brought in the new wide receiver, quarterback ate boogers. The Jets are on that list. The New England Patriots come in on this list. The Jets and the Patriots continually getting called out by Bill Belichick on any platform that anybody gives them. So I do enjoy that, but the Patriots stink. They're on the list. Carolina Panthers are on the bottom feeders list this week as well. Did you see Andy Dalton got into a car accident yesterday?
Yeah, he's okay, right?
Hopefully he's okay, but still is treatment and whatnot from the team. He should be okay, but got into a car accident yesterday. Panthers are on that list. And then I got to put the Giants on that list as well. Daniel Jones has not led a touchdown drive at MetLife Stadium since before Mac was born. It's been like 685 days since he's last led a touchdown drive in his own stadium. Jeez. So the Giants make Bob's bottom feeders as well. Booger eaters, non-touchdown drivers, the Panthers, the Patriots, and Kevin, I can't coach here anymore, Ski, all make the list.
And the Titans is an honorable mention.
And the Titans are an honorable mention.
Not a bad bottom feeder. 2-5 teams. Everybody else with just one win. So.
Anybody else that I should have had on that bottom feeders list?
Maybe the Saints.
Yeah.
Jacksonville.
Maybe the Rams.
Rams could be. They're trying to trade Cooper Kupp. So
Jags.
They got that win over the Patriots.
You're right.
Salvaged a little bit this week. You know, people are starting to talk about momentum now coming back from across the pond.
Maybe the
Nobody's
Raiders.
Talking about that. But
maybe the Raiders, maybe the Dolphins.
Yeah, Dolphins, Raiders could be on that. There's a lot of bad teams when you start to think about it, right?
Dolphins, what, did they end up beating the Colts this weekend?
They did, 16-10.
Yeah.
Or no.
No,
they lost 16-10.
Yeah, I was just saying, because I saw a controversial video from their sidelines where Waddle, Tyreek, and Mike McDaniel were all laughing and having a good time losing 16-10 with 30 seconds left.
So fun.
As a fan, is there anything that pisses you off more than the laughing on the sidelines during a loss? You don't know what it is. They maybe were laughing at Aaron Rodgers eating his boogers, but they're laughing, and it's a bad look, right? People get so mad when you see laughing on the sidelines.
Am I fair to say that the Tua thing kind of upsets me?
That's fine. I'm with you, too. We probably would have talked more about that today.
Yeah,
I mean, not acquired DeAndre Hopkins, but
yeah. That's how breaking news works. It takes your entire rundown you worked so hard on the night before and just
gone.
Wipes it out.
Yeah, but the Tua thing is interesting, right? Like, you're on your own now, pal.
Like, he
refuses
to wear the Guardians cap. Press conferences.
Well, a lot of people in Cleveland refuse to wear the Guardians cap. Did you see the crowd? Most of them were still wearing the old Indians logo.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
It's true. Look at the crowd.
And, you know, then addressing the media is like, I know this is what I want to do. I don't need your guys' sympathy. And it's like, okay, man. Well, like,
you ain't got my sympathy anymore. Like, you're on your own now.
I'm not out here. I want to be very freaking clear. I'm not out here saying I hope he gets another one. I'm saying if he does, I don't know if I'll have the same feelings I had from before. Right. I'm just worried about what happens when that does happen. If he's not taking, like, for instance, if I were to tear my ACL, I don't care if it's not fashionable. I'd wear like a brace if I played like active sports because I don't want to tear it again. This guy's had four concussions, and yeah, he comes out and just like, hey, I'm gonna and look, do your life.
I'm not
activating that. I'm just saying, like, don't feel bad. We're not all like, oh man, again.
Yeah.
I think the NFL should just be like, hey, you have to wear a Guardian cap. Like, you have to.
Yeah, I don't understand why the NFL.
Because they don't care.
I know, but that's the myth. Like, is there a bigger myth out there?
No, if Roger Goodell really cared, he'd have said, you know what? You're on the commissioner's exempt list for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
But I didn't do any, like, violence or anything like that. I don't care. You're not playing football.
You're not playing football. You're a detriment to the league if you get another concussion.
I mean, it's terrible for business. B, it's terrible for his own health. And C, it's like nobody sees the
obvious.
And once
you got past A, nobody cares. Yeah. It's terrible for business. If something does happen to this guy on the field, it's just,
I remember when I was a kid, my mom would say, you can wear a helmet when you wear your bike. If not, you don't need to ride your bike. And I'd be like, I don't wear my helmet. It's like, well, then you don't get to ride your bike. It's like, God.
Yeah, we were in that generation of if you wore a helmet, you got made fun of.
Yeah.
But then you learn, right?
Yeah.
You've got things that can protect you.
I was also 5. So I wasn't like 12 riding my bike. It was like from 5 to 7. It was like you're rocking that lid when you're on those two
Hell
wheels.
Hell yeah, you are.
Coming up on the other side, there's a story that Paul George and the New Heights guy have all sort of talked about. And it kind of hits home for me. It gets a little funny on the other side here. 96.5 The Fan, you're home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City Sports. 96.5 The Fan.
You know, Dusty, I wanted to bring up a Chris Jones tweet this morning. And, you know, we had some, like, negative, you know, trolls on the text line this morning about the acquisition of DeAndre Hopkins, in case you're just tuning in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we said is that the locker room's going to be excited about this.
And what did Chris Jones say?
Chris Jones just quote tweeted the announcement and goes, let's go! Right there shows you how impactful this move is inside that locker room. And I go back to, you know, the Royals, because they were the first group that, you know, we saw do stuff like this and make trades, the Ben Zobrist and the Johnny Cueto and moves of that nature. And I remember talking to some of those guys, and they'll probably tell you the same story, you know, over the years later now, is that when they made those moves, that was an infusion inside that clubhouse and inside that locker room of enthusiasm. Gives them that second breath to get ready for kind of that stretch run of the season. And, you know, this is our last game, right, I think, in October, right? The last game in October. And then the next game we play is in November when we take on that Monday night game. So this is the last game, and now we're starting to get towards that middle part, the dog days of summer, if you will, of the NFL season, where you're starting to see a separation of the good teams and the bad teams, and people are kind of formulating where they are. You add a name brand player like DeAndre Hopkins to the Chiefs mix, and that adds an infusion of excitement and energy, and yes, let's go. This organization believes in us. And the Royals got a huge bounce from that because they looked around. They went, Dayton and company, man, they believe in us. All right, let's go. We can do this. And that's what this kind of move for DeAndre Hopkins does. It shows that ownership and management believes in these guys, and they're willing to give them another piece to make sure they meet that goal. And every player walking into that facility today is going to have a bounce in their step and be excited because they know that this organization went out and just made them better in the last 5 hours.
Speaking of people walking into facilities, Paul Pierce had a story on his podcast. And he wants media members banned from the locker rooms. He claims that reporters stare at penis too much.
They don't.
Well, that's what he says.
Paul George, right?
Yeah, Paul George. Sorry, Paul George.
Oh, Paul George. Well, either way. Either way. Reporters are not in there grazing, Paul.
And I feel slightly attacked. And the New Heights guys... just coincidentally, last week, did a podcast where Jason Kelce brought this up.
Locker room media policy. The FLPA has put out a statement about moving media interviews out of the locker rooms. Torrey Smith tweeted, my good friend Torrey Smith, former teammate, Super Bowl champion. Torrey,
way to speak up for the league, man.
Torrey Smith, if only y'all knew how awkward some of the male reporters act. Straight meat watchers. I'm not going to lie. It is a little weird that people are in there, but I don't mind. I never minded it.
You never mind them?
Listen, somebody wants... my is low on the totem pole. I'm not impressing anybody or doing anything. If you want to look at it, go for it. Be my guest. It's not going to impress you.
It's going to make some babies, man. That's what it's going to do.
It's efficient. It gets the job done. I don't know. I've never cared. I've never thought about it, and I've never noticed anybody staring at it.
We've been in locker rooms our entire lives.
I still remember going into the YMCA in Cleveland Heights and seeing an old man's balls drag along a sauna. Yeah.
Who hasn't, right?
Killed Travis right there.
Which is risky in two ways, man. You can splinter those things.
Yeah.
You can sear those things.
Hey. You know how hard it is not to look at an old man's balls in a sauna? You can't not look at those. There's nothing sexual about it, Tori.
That's what I'm saying.
It's like, how the hell are those things hanging that low?
It's unbelievable.
I don't think this is the problem that it's being made out to be.
It's so funny, though.
I really honestly think guys just don't want to be interviewed in the locker room.
He said it's so
and
funny.
A lot of
though.
People are crying wolf right now to just try and get the reporters out of the locker room. It's so easy to just not show your to everybody. Put a towel on or go into the bathroom that they aren't in. Like they're not in the showers. Like, hey, how'd you catch that ball? Like you can definitely not show your if you don't want to, guys.
100% on everything except for people like the Paul George stuff, like the nobody's in there just looking. I mean, come on.
I mean, I've been caught.
It happens. Like you're moving your head around all of a sudden. You're like, oh, my God, I'm sorry. You know, like
I wasn't trying to look. The man was massive. I was in the locker room as a rookie reporter and Steven Sirt and I were going there to get audio from Alex Smith.
Did he have a towel on, this gentleman?
He did, on his shoulder.
Yeah, but see, that's on you. That's not your fault because you turned your head. If you cared about people looking at you, put a towel on.
Yeah. Like I
those old guys at the gym. It's just such a dead-on story.
I mean, I literally just, we're in there, Alex Smith, you know, talking. We have our cell phone right up next to him. And you're kind of looking around. Chiefs locker room, their shower is somehow right in the middle of the room. Their shower room, and then here comes a defensive lineman, I'll say that. Big man, 6'6", 300, towel on his shoulder, not even dried off. And my eyes went south and immediately went back up north, and I made direct eye contact with that man, and I knew at that very moment I'd been caught.
But you weren't, it wasn't like you were in there maliciously doing it. You moved your head around.
Oh, I mean, I was definitely on a swivel. It wasn't on a swivel for meat.
No.
I wasn't like, who's the biggest?
Like that's the other thing about reporters, though, that's interesting. Ryan Lilja told me this story one time. He goes, you know what I hate about you? And I'm like, geez, Ryan. He goes, he's talking about reporters. He goes, you guys are standing here talking to a player and not one person is paying attention to anything we're saying. Everybody's looking around for who's next, right? Where's the next guy? Who's next? Who's next? He goes, why are you talking to me if you're not paying attention to a damn thing I'm saying? So you broke the cardinal sin, which I didn't really think about, you know, at that time, but when Lil just said it coming from the other side, I'm like, that's really good perspective. And so now if I'm talking to somebody in that kind of situation, which is very few and far between anymore, I do try to make eye contact and focus on them, because obviously it rubs the players the wrong way if you're talking to somebody and you're not caring what they have to say and you're wandering around. So Dusty was doing what normal reporters do. You wander your head around at times. You just happen to look left and you're like, whoa, sorry, man.
And to be fair, that was the first time I'd ever been in the Chiefs locker room at their practice facility.
Yeah. So
it was kind of like one of those things like, oh man, I never always heard about it. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, right. Oh my God, I'm sorry. But some guys do it on purpose. There was a guy years ago, and I'm not going to say who it was, but there was a guy years ago who purposely would walk naked, like behind where reporters were talking.
We had a high school coach that did that.
You know, so he would be on camera and rune shots and things like that. We're like, come on, man. Like, why are you doing that? You're doing it on purpose. Right. And so this whole banning the media from the locker room, just get over yourself, Paul George. Nobody's in there checking you out.
And if they are, they're impressed. From the 660, to give you some insight about how our job works, it says, give these guys some damn privacy and stay out of the locker room. You can wait 30 minutes for an interview. It's their team officials that give us the option to do that. We don't get an option. It's, hey, the locker room's open until noon.
Right.
You got 10 minutes to get any player you want for your story this weekend. They will not go get an athlete and bring them out. When they have somebody out, it is at a podium, and those people are already selected prior to that day starting. It'll literally be 8 o'clock in the morning. A piece of paper on the podium will say, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce. Locker room opens up at 11:50. You have 10 minutes.
Right.
That's how it works. We don't have a choice. We don't have. And if somebody who does a news story, whether that would be, you know, Neil Jones or whether that's going to be Mackenzie Nelson, whoever that may be, they've got 10 minutes to go find their story and hope to think to God that Justin Reed's the one they want to talk to because he's got something going on for, you know, a charity of his. And they're like, I just need 5 minutes of Justin Reed. Okay, here you go. Here's the locker room. This is your chance. You don't get the, we'll pull him out for you personally, just for you. They don't do that.
No, it doesn't work that way.
So I wish we could. Trust me, I'd wait an hour.
Josh has said for years, too, he goes, I'm tired of the locker room thing. Just bring everybody outside.
But
you know what kind of commotion, you know how much easier it is for guys to do their job where you just open the locker room, you just go up the players? Because at that point in time, now you're asking guys to get dressed, come outside. They're going to tell you no.
Yeah.
So you, as the fan, are going to get less coverage of the players and what they have to say after a game if they do it that way. You go into a locker room, you just start talking to guys and getting the information that way. That's the way it works. I've had some of my best conversations with players inside the locker room after games or after practice.
And most of them are off the record.
99% of them are off the record, right? Yeah. Like all of the good stuff comes, off the record. And the relationships form to give you the ability then to contact them when breaking news happens at 5 in the morning. You have sources around the league that you can go to. And so I'm not into this whole let's shut down the media, because at the end of the day, and this is just an ignorant comment from Paul George, the media pays your salary, bro.
Somebody asked, maybe a dumb question, are female reporters allowed in? Of course.
Yes.
Yes. I've been shoulder to shoulder with Danny Welniak and Mackenzie Nelson, Karen Kornacki, bless her heart for what she's probably seen. But yeah, that's just, and that's the thing. Look, I mean, I would much rather them come out of the locker room. Here's the other thing, too. Post game, there's a door that Chiefs players know how to get away. They know how to get away from you.
Back door and everything.
So not everybody sticks around.
I'm still waiting for Kendrick Lewis after that Colts game, okay? With Louis Vuitton luggage was taken out by PR.
That's right.
Because they didn't want to talk to me after they blew that 28-point lead in Indianapolis. And Danny and Carrington and I almost died driving back. And Kendrick Lewis couldn't talk?
That's right.
That guy sucks.
And some guys just know how to get around it. So,
well, Kendrick Lewis couldn't cover anybody, but he sure got away from me. And I stood there and waited. Like, they escorted me out because that's how long I was there waiting for that guy.
We get right back into the news of the day that was DeAndre Hopkins to the Kansas City Chiefs here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5, The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.